Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Alexandra from the Russian Sisters. So grateful that you're tuning in today. Just wanted to let all of you know that Anna and I have to take a short break from being able to record for you guys due to some scheduling conflicts we have that have come up for the month of April. We plan to be back in touch with you all starting in May, but just wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in, and we can't wait to be back with you. Definitely feel free to still reach out to us if you have any questions, share us, and we will hopefully be back with you soon. Enjoy this episode. Hi, I'm Alexandra.
And I'm Anna, and we are the Russian Sisters.
Welcome to our podcast,
a show we created to talk about hard things
and also to bring some levity to your lives.
Alexandra is a mom and occupational therapist,
and Anna is a school counselor.
And together we share our life stories
and crazy adventures.
We aim to make you smile
and let you know you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You are not alone.
Enjoy our latest episode from
the Russian Sisters.
Well, hello. Well, hey, hey, hey is what I was going to say. But hey is for horses, as our mother used to say when we were little. How are you, Alexandra?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you? I say hey with Buddy all the time, and he says it, and then I hear our mother go, hey is for horses. And I go, well, I had someone the other day tell me to stop saying go and just say says or like. What was that? I don't even know.
What?
I know. I'm all over the place now. I don't remember what that was about, but the thing I told our mother was, well, if I'm saying hey to Buddy at home, he's not going to know not to say it at your house. You can't set him up for failure. He can't be able to say it at my house and then get in trouble for saying it elsewhere.
Okay, because he was also saying, oh my God, the other day, and we were trying to correct him, and I heard that someone over at that household was like, shrug.
Yeah. No, and so what? I am trying to do the goodness thing with him more frequently now. But yes, I was like, well, wait, if the guy who's got a direct line to Jesus is the one saying it's okay, how does this work? But no, I think it makes people uncomfortable if they hear him say, oh my God. So I've been working on the goodness. I'll just repeat whatever he says with,
he's
oh my goodness.
He's just a little mimicker at this point.
Oh, like, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Whatever you're going to say. And it's hilarious because I feel like we have already talked about some family-isms that our family says. Well, I wish I could think of any one of them right now. But I was recently around one of our family members who says, are you serious? Like, you just say one thing, and then the immediate response is, are you serious? With, like, I'm like, I don't, yes, of course I'm serious. Why would I be saying it unless I'm serious? But there are things like that the other children have picked up repeat, and you just hear them like, oh, that's my dad talking. Oh, that's my mom talking, because you just hear their intonation. It's like that one time that you had a parrot, and I was staying with you in Florida. And I could hear this voice, and I was like, is Al home? I thought she like stepped out to go do something. And sure enough, I stepped out into the living room, and it was just the parrot, who sounded exactly like Alexandra when she talks on the phone.
Yeah, he would say hello before I would when answering the phone, and people would start talking because they'd hear him. He also laughed like me.
Yes.
Which was hilarious because I left the bird with my ex. I'm pretty sure he got rid of the bird right away. Like, here you go. You can keep the bird. And it sounds like me.
Was it a parrot?
It was. It was a yellow-naped Amazon parrot.
Say that again.
Yellow-naped Amazon parrot named Marley.
Marley. He was really cool when he wasn't biting your hands.
Yeah. He definitely had some trauma related to females, but he was a cool bird.
Yeah. And he sounded just like you. It was scary. Speaking of pets left behind, it's interesting that you said that you left him with your ex, because on the way down here, I passed by a truck with this beautiful Rottweiler in the back of the cab, not in the back of the cab, in the back. In the, you know, the part of the truck. Words are so hard. It's not even Thursday after 6 p.m. But anyway, this beautiful Roddy was just like, I was stopped at a light and I on purpose didn't pull up next to the driver, but instead sat. So I was just like at eye level with the dog who was hanging out over the side of the truck bed, the bed of the truck. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was a hard one. And he was beautiful. And it just reminded me of my Izzy that I had to leave behind with my ex. And she was a Roddy and she was beautiful. And she was like one of the best lap dogs ever. And then I was like, it got me thinking on that role again that I'd really like to get another dog. And this universe, when you start thinking about that thing that you want, then you start seeing them everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I was driving the other day and saw a Great Dane, and that's the kind of dog that I would like to get. Also, I know people, I know they don't live very long, but I feel like I'm a foster human in this universe anyway. Anything that we have isn't ours for very long anyway. We're just stewards of it, really. And so if I have one of those, it'll just be like a shorter amount of time that I would have a Great Dane or another big dog like a Roddy. I don't know that I'd go so far as to get a Rottweiler again, even though they have a really great bark, which is good for a single female to have a dog with a... I know yours doesn't really
bark. That was... It's funny that that comes up because I also recently had a discussion about my dog and how I got her for security purposes, and she does the worst... Well, I say the worst, but probably the best puppy eyes, the sad eyes. And she will try and convince everybody to take her home with them.
Yeah, she looks at you like she's like, I have not been loved ever. And then you just know that you know that's not true because she gets all the love. And then there's also a little tiny human who like adores her.
Yeah, well, you don't only leave with the puppy eyes, but you leave with a couple cups of fur. So
yes.
She's a very giving dog in that respect. I was going to say, as far as the Great Dane, because those puppies are even large, that I don't think Zoe, your cat, like Zoe's pretty, she can be pretty aggressive and territorial, but I think the Great Dane would win.
I don't know. I feel like
she put up a fight, but I think the Great Dane would win.
Oh my gosh. Side note, I'm looking out the window. There's a squirrel looking in at me. A total squirrel moment, but for real, from up. Oh my God, he's like shaking his tail at me. I wish you could all see what is happening in this National Geographic moment, but I got so sidetracked because something caught my eye. And Alexander, you have to pop out of your chair really quickly to come and see this thing. It's just sitting there staring at me.
Joke.
I wish you could, and it's still staring at me.
The squirrel was flirting with Anna.
Its tail is going, and it looks like it wants to eat me for dinner.
This totally reminds me of Sword in the Stone with the squirrels in Sword in the Stone. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That was, you guys, I'm so sorry I had my squirrel moment there, but it for realsies, like totally, I don't even know what I was talking about before. I was talking about animals, but then this squirrel, like totally out of my periphery, I could see this movement and I look and I'm like, oh, it started snowing again because it wouldn't be spring break, actual spring, happy spring, everybody, without it snowing here in Colorado. But then this squirrel was just sitting on the fence, like challenging me to a duel. Yeah,
literally just looking straight at you.
Its tail. Oh my God.
That's funny.
What were we talking about?
You and a Great Dane with your cat.
Oh, that's right. Because I was just thinking how it's almost Zoe's birthday and she's going to be 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14. And
yes, it is 14.
I forget that about her when I, oh my God, he's back.
I don't know what's going to happen today.
Either. I'm like, do you want
our show
peanuts?
Has been derailed. I don't, but I will say if this is the one, I am impressed by the squirrels that come through here because they do bury their food in my yard and you wouldn't know it. And then they come and they sniff it out and they dig up their acorns and they just gallop right off. And I would never know because I'm out. Well, not right now. I'm out in the yard a lot, but I watch them and I'm like, I would never know that you buried your food. Anna's trying not to make eyes at the squirrel right now.
I don't even know what to do with myself right now. He's gone again, but you are not alone if you've ever had a stare down with a squirrel and felt like he just stared into your soul or felt like he was challenging you to a duel. Cause that also just happened. Like weirdness. He might be back. I don't have some nuts for him.
Wait, you do that again?
It left some really fun marks on my audio tracking here.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that is hysterical.
Yes. So happy almost birthday to Zoe, who's going to be 14. And that's what I was saying. I forget that she's as old as she is because she's so sprightly sometimes. But then like there are times when she just like, gets in my face or sneezes in my face because we've talked about she has some nasal and sinus issues and sneezes. But I feel like she holds the sneeze until she gets right in my face and then sneezes in my face. And then I like shove her off the bed because it's like right in my face. And now I have snot all over my face and it's gross. So I shove her off the bed, but then I feel bad because I'm like, oh my God, like you are almost 14 and I should not be doing that to you, old lady.
I'm going to come back to the scroll for a second because of course I had to look up the symbolism.
Yes. Tell me.
Yeah. So it's a symbol of preparation and resourcefulness.
Oh.
And because they store food and create a cozy nest, they represent weathering any storm.
Oh.
But hold on, there's another one I wanted to read because it also talks about forward thinking.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll remark on this.
Renewal,
oh, yes.
Adaptability, change, spirit, playfulness, resourcefulness, connection with earth and sky energies, gratitude, foresight. Got some stuff going on around you, Anna.
I am embracing all of that right now.
Yeah.
It was looking into my soul.
It was looking it's into crazy. Your soul. Anyway.
Thank you, universe, for sending me little squirrel.
That's hilarious. How else have you been there, Anna?
Well, I began talking about the Roddy. I've been okay. Like, I'm on spring break, as I mentioned, and that's been really awesome just to have some downtime. I took one whole day and just read a book. That's right. 571 pages of a book I read.
Pretty easy. Not to deflect or discount the fact that it was 500 and something pages. It's a good easy read, but it's a good one.
Yes. There's another really dense book that I'm reading for church that is probably 571 pages. And there's no way that I am taking one whole day to read that because that is very complicated and complex and dense. But this was young adult fiction about vampires and humans in this school up in Alaska and dragons and all sorts of things. And I devoured it much like I did. I spent one whole spring break years ago reading the whole Twilight series. So this was like very similar to that where I was like, oh, I could do a book a day. And that was very refreshing because I love to read and I just, I devour.
Yeah. One of my friends, he's a teacher. He's visiting his daughter who goes to college in Texas for spring break. And he and I were texting back and forth and I was asking if it was restful. And then we went back and forth about how vacationing with children is not necessarily restful. I said, no, I just want the pool and a book. Pool and a book.
Yeah. That reminds me of the distinction I make between a trip and a vacation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are things that you do that are trips and you go and maybe it's jam packed or you're visiting relatives or it's like you have a purpose for this trip and you sometimes do it over this period of time that we call vacation, like a spring break. But it's not like, I mean, it could be bucket filling in some ways, but it's not like maybe rejuvenated.
I was going to say recharge it. You don't necessarily recharge. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That a vacation with a beach or a pool or hikes in nature might refresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. Book one day. I don't know. I went to a funeral today. But it was good. It was nice and prayerful and peaceful. And that was a good thing to do. So sad occasion, but a good thing to do.
Yeah. Why not after a funeral, just record some podcast?
I know. And then like go eye to eye with a squirrel. So
the timing was meant to be.
But I did want to say in preparation for podcasting today, I looked at the news, which you guys know that I don't do very often. But I was like, maybe it's a good idea to see what's going on in the world around me. And really, unfortunately, I look at CNN. That was my news source for today. So not unbiased, but that's the outlet I went with today, CNN. And one of the major top stories was about this shooting that just happened at a school in Denver. And I was like, what? In my backyard today, like at this school that is close to a place that's close to our hearts, like, just another sad occasion of a student with a firearm.
What is happening?
I don't know. So I tried, I was like, wow, that's really sad. And I don't want to dwell on that today because I just went eye to eye with a squirrel. But After that, I was scrolling down and then I was like, oh, the next thing of interest to me was that Giselle apparently is speaking out about her divorce with Tom and saying that it's not as simple as football. Like, that's just not the answer. As with all relationships, the end wasn't just because of this one thing that happened or because he didn't, like, retire. And she's like, that's silly for people to just simplify it down to this one thing.
Yes, you are correct. I appreciate her. I was listening to a little bit about this on the radio. That's right, the radio. But I appreciate some of her decorum when it comes to her divorce, especially given that it has been so public and with the fame and people don't always go that way. And I appreciate that she's speaking out a little bit, but also still maintaining that level of privacy and decorum in it and not getting super nasty.
Yeah, classy. Just classy. You're right, because they're such public figures and it could be so nasty, and she's taking the high road. And sometimes, you know, just not speaking, or when you do speak, speak with grace and compassion. Like, it was a classy thing to read on the CNN news outlet.
Yeah.
The last thing.
Hold on, one more thing. I wanted to say about that. Yeah, yes. Just one more thing. Because I had a therapist a few years back I was working with, and this always stuck with me because she said, whatever you're going to say in whatever scenario you're going to say it, make sure that you can stand behind it at any point in time. So even if you're the point was to respond, not react, but with the idea of that you can go back and look at it and say, like, I stand behind that no matter when you're reviewing or reflecting. And I thought that was really helpful.
Integrity.
There you go. That one.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I just think that it's difficult to do. And I know sometimes when their emotions are heated, whatever, like, things get said, but yeah, like, do you have the integrity? Could you stand behind what you said even when things have calmed or dissipated? And I think it was just a classy thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the next thing that I was looking at for you guys, or that has been interesting, and this is probably old news by now, and many of you have already probably heard or read about it, but the 2023 list of the Dirty Dozen vegetables and fruits came out. And for those of you who maybe aren't up on what that means, this is a list of some of the most pesticide sprayed fruits and vegetables that are out there. And this is going to take me a moment.
And I just
want
to say in regards to that, because years ago there was a documentary that came out, and it wasn't, I know Forks Over Knives kind of started everything. And then there's been, I think it's like What the Health came out. But unfortunately, and I appreciate that they do this list, but pesticides now are actually sprayed on seeds. So they're not necessarily sprayed on the crop. So the crop actually grows with the pesticide. And that's what makes it so difficult. Because even some of the ones that used to be considered clean, ended up being on the Dirty Dozen list because of them spraying seeds instead of the crop.
Well,
yes. So let's see. What do you got? What do you got?
Well, let me get there. Because what they said about pesticides is there are like 200 and some odd chemicals that have popped up on these various fruits and vegetables. And so, yes, some of them are harmful to the humans. And I was like, well, so what, right? Like, so where's the bottom line and what the humans need to do in order to be healthier or safer? And ultimately, people, it comes down to this. One of the suggestions is to buy organic, because those have fewer pesticides sprayed on them. Mm-hmm. Not that they're necessarily 100% chemical free.
Yeah.
The other thing, when you do buy your fruits and vegetables, and I am, this is one of those, like, do as I say, not as I do, just like brushing my teeth, because I don't always do an awesome job of washing my fruit and vegetables anymore. I think I give a better rinse, especially when I buy blueberries and apples, and I know, like, the skin, I'm going to eat the skin, but wash your fruits and vegetables. Our sister-in-law does a really good job of that, actually.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this. When I went through my health issues, it's been, gosh, what year is it? I think it's been 5 years since I finally started getting a diagnosis of what was going on. I had a nutritionist, and also the functional doctor that I worked with said that most likely it was related to pesticides.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I knew that.
Oh. Yeah.
That's terrible. wash your fruit and vegetables or buy organic and then still wash your fruits and vegetables. Okay, dirty dozen. Here we go. Strawberries, spinach, which I always buy in just that plastic container, you know, the big box.
You just need to get the lettuce thingy that you spin. Remember?
A spinner.
Lettuce spinner? Yeah. I don't even know if they make those
salad
anymore.
Salad spinners, do they?
Yeah.
That used to be my favorite part about making tabbouleh when we were younger. Is that mom would wash the parsley and then it would go in the salad spinner. And I just loved like the centrifugal force that I didn't know that was called, but the centrifugal force that happened and expose all the water.
It always had a noise to it too. Uh-huh.
Like,
it always
had like a whir, like a really interesting whir to it. Yeah. And then when I was like older and in a class and I learned about centrifugal and centripetal forces, I was like, that's the salad spinner. Mm-hmm.
All right. So strawberry, spinach, what else?
Kale, collard and mustard greens, peaches, mm-hmm. pears, nectarines, apples, grapes, bell and hot peppers, cherries. This is like everything you eat. Blueberries. Blueberries made the list. And I think that was a big deal. Like in every headline, it was like blueberries made the dirty dozen list. So be careful. And green beans. So those are the 12 that popped up this year. But luckily there is something called the Clean 15. Whoopsies. And I'm just going to try and pop that up here. The Clean 15. And there was a special point made about avocados being on the Clean 15. They're actually some of the cleaner fruit because they have a seed in the middle or seeds on the outside. Which
avocado? Mm-hmm. It's the seed on the middle.
And is it because they have a seed on the inside that they're considered a fruit?
Oh.
Like tomatoes?
I don't know.
Something about seeds makes it a fruit versus a vegetable versus a legume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to look that up.
All right, I'll get on that.
Words matter. Sweet corn. Okay, so this is a clean 15.
Oh, corn. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I feel like corn usually ends up on the... All right.
I know.
Yeah, let's
do it. Avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, onions... papaya, sweet peas, frozen, ooh, asparagus. I was just having this conversation about asparagus. I love asparagus. Do you not love asparagus?
I like grilled asparagus. It's not that I don't usually seek it out, but I will eat it.
I love it. I don't know. I think I grew up not liking it. I think I was scared of it growing up, but then like I became an adult and I was like, oh, this is one vegetable that I love. However, with salmon or steak. Anyway, honeydew melon. I'm not a big melon person. Kiwi. I haven't had kiwi in a really long time. Cabbage. Okay, this is still the clean 15. Cabbage, mushrooms, which is good. I always wash my mushrooms anyway, but that's good to know that they're cleaner. Mangoes, sweet potatoes, watermelon, and carrots. Those are all in the clean 15.
Oh, I'm surprised carrots made it, but that's great.
Yeah.
We eat a lot of carrots.
Some of these, what's interesting is some of these are underground.
I might have missed it. Are cucumbers on one way or the other?
Ooh, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking of what we eat a lot. Fruits come from the flowering part of a plant and contain seeds. Vegetables are the edible parts of a plant, such as leaves, stem, roots, and bulbs.
Roots, bulbs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So an avocado.
What about legume? What is it? The difference
avocado is a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You didn't add legume to the list, so hold on.
In one part of Colorado to the south of us, like southeast, there's a big like...
So legumes are the seeds. So that makes sense. So you have fruits are going to be the flowering part. Vegetables are going to be...
Roots.
Yeah, the main part. And then the actual seeds of the plant will be the legumes.
Oh. I hope you learned something new today, people.
You're welcome.
I do. Yes. You're welcome. Down there's an area called Rocky Ford and it's farms. Anyway, and so they have the roadside fruit stands and stuff. And that's where I learned how you like hit or slap a watermelon to know if it's ripe or if it's the right one. Like there's a certain sound that the watermelon gives to let you know that it's the ripe one. I can't imitate that sound. You just have to talk to someone at a roadside stand. Go down to Rocky Ford.
I just learned that now.
Melons. I think one of the schools, I think one of their mascots are the Meloneers or something like that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Rocky Ford. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like fruit tenders or something like that. No, I think they're like the Meloneers or Melon. Yeah, something. Melon men. I don't know. Yeah. I'll look it up sometime later.
All right.
Not right now.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundel, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network, or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
Well, I have a question for you, and it's kind of jumping boxes, but similarly to that produce, I was talking with a friend once, and she was commenting to me how there's a point in her and her husband's bank account where it gets below a certain level, and then it makes them very uncomfortable. And so then you do everything they can not to like rearrange things, you know, and they both work for themselves, so have to take other jobs or whatever. And so it got me thinking, because I do this with like something as simple as Kleenex or toilet paper, or if I get to a certain point in the house where I've stocked the toilet paper where I go, oh, I need to go get more, you know? So I was curious if there are things like your gas tank. Is there a point where you're like, oh, where it's that line of what's uncomfortable when something gets too low, whether it's your bank account, your gas tank or whatever, if there are things in your life where you start going, like for me, the joke kind of is almond milk, because we do so many shakes. Like every day, Buddy and I do a shake. And so I always stock up on almond milk. And when I get to just 1/2 gallon, I'm like, ooh, I need to go make sure I get more.
Now it's time for a trip to Schmashmo.
Yes.
Right. To get a new thing. That's an interesting question. And I upon reflection, I was thinking, like, as you were listing off some of the things like a gas tank or your bank account, I'm like, oof, there have been times when my gas tank, the light comes on. And I'm like, now it's uncomfortable. I worked for a little while to try and make that point be a quarter of a tank, because I was reading this article that said like about when you should gas up your car, especially when the prices were rising and there were all these
I remember
tips.
That because it was talking about, you know, go in the morning and when it's cold and don't do the high. Yeah.
Yep. So all those tips about like gassing up, and one of them was like, do not let your tank get below a quarter of a tank. So I was like, that should be my mark. And then sometimes I'm really good at that, like, oop, I'm at or around the quarter of a tank, and I should start thinking about maybe going to a gas station next time I'm out and about. But usually the discomfort comes when the light pops on and I'm like, blessed be, blessed be, it's time.
That just happened.
I feel like I like to push it as far as I can to see, like, it's a little game I play or a test. And then then the super discomfort came that one time my light was on and I was driving with the nieces. I think you were in the car also maybe. And I was, no, maybe not, but I was driving with the nieces and they were littler in the car and we were not quite home yet. And it was getting like, now in the car that I have, I can press the car thing and see how many miles are left according to my car. And yeah, that when that gets under 20 miles, then I start to be like, oh, I should probably really go look for a gas station. And then when the nieces were in the car and it happened and I was like, I've got 2 miles left.
Oh God.
I pushed it far and 2 miles wasn't really 2 miles. And I ended up, you know, making it to a gas station with the girls in the car. And I, you know, was like, this is going to be an awful thing to have to explain to my brother and sister-in-law about why I'm broken down on the side of the road because I didn't gas up on time. But yeah, that's an interesting thing to reflect upon. I don't know. While I think about it, what are your limits?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I have all sorts of I mean, there's definitely a threshold with my bank account. But I don't think that one doesn't trigger me as much, but definitely things around the house like hand soap or like I said, Kleenex or toilet paper where I'm like, oh, I got to make sure. There are certain staples I feel like I always want to have. For a second, I was kind of joking with myself in my head about making sure I have enough wine. But that doesn't
really. Very important.
Yeah. No, that doesn't really happen either. Yeah. I was trying to think of if there are things in where I tend to get a little bit more stressed. And if it comes to bigger concepts like time. So if I start to feel that I'm have a certain amount that I need to get done, but I don't feel that I have enough time to do, like, that tends to start to trigger me a little bit more.
Yeah. No, this is a great question to at least be aware of. My bank account, you know, over the past 30, 25 years of my life, I would say, like when I've been in my career ages, my bank account has been all over the place. And I would say it wasn't until my DIV ORS that I really started working on taking care of my finances in a better way. And even still, like, there was some recovery that had to happen. So probably I would say maybe more in the last 5 to 10 years have I even had like a balance or a savings account, even career-wise, just because of my financial situation and like making sure I could pay the mortgage and my car payments and all that. And I mean, even within the last 10 years, there have been times where toward the end of a month, because I only get paid once a month, toward the end of that month and that last week, I was like having to scrounge for coins to make sure I had gas money.
Yeah.
And so things were like that dire. So I get excited when it's not that dire anymore. And so having been there, it would make sense also to have like a hello. Am I comfortable going? Because I'm definitely not comfortable with a zero balance in my bank account. I don't know many people that are.
Yeah.
But that being said, now that I don't carry a zero balance, I probably would say, well, without giving too much of my financial situation away, like if it gets down to like less than, I don't know, 5 to 10% of my monthly salary.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I probably am like, ooh, tighten the belt a little bit. Like, yeah. Stop spending so freely.
Yeah. I think, yeah, when I think of stuff, like I said, around the house, kind of like I think of things like laundry detergent, or even when we talk about if a storm is coming in, like what are those things that you don't feel comfortable not having in your house? Like, I still have bottled water, and usually it's for whoever's working on my house where I can say like, here, have a bottle of water. But what kind of, you know, we go through that too of, oh, a blizzard's coming in, or, you know, what do we need to make sure that we have in place? Batteries, flashlights, kind of that threshold of what we're comfortable with. Or I usually like to have a game plan if potentially we haven't really had our electricity. We've had our electricity flicker with some storms before, but not actually go out. But it's like, okay, I have a kid. I have to think about this. Where would we go? What would we do? Kind of thing.
No, definitely. It's important to have those contingency plans and make sure, like, do you have the batteries? Do you know where your matches are for the candles? Do you actually have like either battery powered or candles that you can mm-hmm. light if the power goes out? What are you going to do with your food?
Yeah.
Where can you go? What do you have as a heat source if your primary heat source doesn't exist
or yeah.
it isn't available? Yeah, no, I think it's always important to be thinking about that. For a long, long time, this is so interesting. For a long, long time, I had like cases of water in my garage. This is like decades ago. But I don't anymore. And I don't know why, because it's not like it goes bad. Right?
No.
I think they put an expiration date or a sell-by date on there just because they have to. But I don't know if it goes bad.
I don't know either. I think what's interesting is looking at this from like kind of a bigger perspective in regards to getting pushed to that limit of, it's almost like that inner trust. So, you know, if your bank account is dropping a certain place, if your gas, like obviously you can go get gas and your car can break down. But I think it's like, how far can you go in trusting that whatever happens, no matter what direction, it'll work out. And to see that different level of how it comes out for different people to me is kind of fascinating.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think on some level it speaks to like your faith and like that things are going to work out and that you're going to be taken care of, just like you just said. I don't need to parrot back to you what you just said. But yeah, like depending on your beliefs or what you've been taught to believe or your experience or your expertise with things like that in the past probably really impacts like your level of stress or anxiety with how low can you go?
Yeah.
How low can you go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Hmm. That contingency stuff makes me think, like, do you keep a survival pack? Like, do you have, you know, besides water, do you, I don't know, what would you eat? Like, if your refrigerator went out, you probably have snacks because Buddy eats some good snacks.
Oh, yeah. We got
aren't perishable.
We got plenty of carbs.
Right. But I know, like, people keep canned stuff, but unless you have like a Bunsen burner, it's not like you're going to be, or a camping gear in your house, it's not like you're going to be.
We know that my contingency plan is that I usually send out a group text and I make sure my phone is completely charged and say if something happens, either someone with a bigger car is going to come get us, or if we can drive, we're going to go to someone else's house who has, like, our brother has a fireplace, an actual
wood,
fireplace.
Wood fight, yeah.
And fireplace. So I'm like, all right, if we need heat, we'll come to your house. And we have blanket. I mean, I've always been someone who's like, not to the point of being fearful of it, you know, because I think there's value in Buddy learning those sorts of things. Like, we can use a flashlight. You don't have to have television. I remember there was one time when I was still working in schools and there had been a massive outage here, and electrical outage. And so many of the even elementary school kids that I supported were complaining because they couldn't access their video games and their phones. And in my head, I'm going, well, pull out a book, let's play some games. You know, there are other things that you can do during that time, and also to pass the time, because you just never know. And of course, now we're threatening the grid so much here in Colorado that, anyway, yeah, I digress. The point is, yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have some of that stuff available in case something happens, is my point.
That reminds me, because it's come up a couple of times in my life in the last few weeks, and so I feel like I'm called to share that with you guys who are listening. There's a game out there called Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza, and it's a game. It's a real thing, y'all.
It's true.
And you apparently, I haven't played it yet, although one of the nieces wanted to play it the other day and then couldn't find it. But you must seek out, if you don't already know about or haven't yet played, Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really fun. And I've heard that, like I said, from multiple sources in my world over the last few weeks. So it must be a thing.
Well, yes. And I get so curious, having had different ideas myself for things that never really go anywhere. And so when I see something like this that takes off, it's one of those that makes me go, hmm.
I know. How did you come up with that, number one? And even if, like, people are coming up with ideas for games all the time, and then it's like, and then who did you market that to? You must have found just the right person or the right audience that this thing takes off. And then you're like now a multimillionaire because people are talking about Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza on their podcasts.
And then it makes you wonder what condition that person was in when they came up with that name or the game.
I know, because Taco Cat backwards is Taco Cat. Oh, Ricky, God. Hello. You have a t-shirt that says so.
That's pretty funny. I didn't pick up on that one. That's hilarious. I'm a little late to the game. I'm switching boxes again.
Okay.
I'm a little late to the game on watching the Meghan and Harry documentary.
Yeah. Yes. Do tell.
Well, his book came out.
Did you read it?
I did not.
Are you going to?
I don't know. Are you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that I have the desire to, really. I don't want to buy it. So I think if someone is like, here's a copy.
Oh, why don't you want to buy it?
I don't know. Because I don't know that I would spend my money on that. It's like with movies. I don't know if I'd spend my money on whatever movie. I'll wait till it comes to me for free. Or like is included in an already subscription thing that I have.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I digress. Go on.
No, I found it interesting because I think you and I, when you first watched the Meghan and Harry documentary, you talked a little bit about it and how the media shifted to one perspective. And,
yes.
And I was included in buying into that whole idea and wondering, you know, what was the dynamic and not giving enough grace or time, right? There's multiple sides to the same story. I did find it fascinating and also a little sad, just in the respect. And if you guys haven't watched it, you know, I'm not necessarily going to give any spoilers in here, all this to say that they've been pretty open that the media has not been kind to them. And one of the things that struck me was how, right, they're trying to protect their kids and they just can't get any privacy, and how people are constant, and the lengths that people go to for their job as a photographer to get a picture to me is kind of astonishing, because I can't understand that, right? I just can't understand, because in my mind I go, well, would you want someone to do that to you? And I don't think these photographers would. Maybe they would. Maybe they're like ready to pose. I don't know, but I just find it so, I do find it violating to do that. And when there's a point when Megan is actually talking about protecting her kids and being a mom, and that part like really struck me, because especially after a lot of the stuff that I went through after Sean passed, and just being like, mama bear is out and I have to protect my kid, and there's no length I won't go to at this point to protect my kid. Clearly I got like the dog that doesn't bark, you know, for security purposes. But I think I was struck by that. And that's what really made me sad, is that there just couldn't be respect for the kids. Like, no matter how you feel about Megan and Harry, like, their kids didn't ask for this. And maybe you guys disagree, because, you know, we might talk about fame or where people are, but like, kids are born into it, and it's not that they have that choice. And so no matter what parents choose to do, I just don't think it's okay to try and exploit the children when the parents are clearly trying to create a barrier or a boundary around that. So that part kind of struck me a lot. And also just division. I mean, I think I've talked about this quite a bit, that yeah, I find it also sad to have family like rift like that over not following guidelines, or just even like the comparison that they were doing between Megan
and Kate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just like those comparisons and unfair comparisons. And here we are trying to like create and nurture a sense of family, and to just be constantly compared would be very difficult, I find.
Yeah. And I think we talked about, I don't know if we talked about this, but Alexander and I have talked about this, about how, especially in that documentary, for a moment, they highlight like Megan and Kate were the same thing, and the way the media portrayed them was opposite, right? Like with Kate, it was like, oh, look at her in this dress. And with Megan, it was like, look at this slut. And then it was just a couple of instances like that where there was that comparison thing happening. But to speak to the media, I think it all goes back to that point that they make about the media feeling like and actually owning the family. And so, yeah, like they're like, they don't view them as little tiny humans with private lives or whatever. They view them as like property,
commodity,
that whatever. Yeah. Money making commodity, and that you are ours. And so nothing is private. And I do respect that this couple was like, okay, this may have been the way things have been run forever, but we're not okay with that. And we're going to take a stand, because our safety is at stake here, and that's just not negotiable.
Yeah, and Harry and William were born into that, and the idea that it was considered appropriate for the kids to be exploited that way is what's interesting. And then for Harry to say, I'm not going to exploit my kids. The other thing that came up for me is, where is that threshold of what your outward persona is versus your inward or private family, right? There are certain things you have to do as part of the royal family. There's a certain way you need to be. We kind of went through this on a much, much smaller scale growing up in our own family and with our family connections. But it's like, when does your outward performance or whatever start to take over to the point that who you actually are is now completely, it's just gone. It's completely gone, because you've just bought into whatever play you have to do or be or part you have to play. There you go. There it is. Part you have to play.
Well, I'm chuckling as Alexander is saying that, because there have been a couple events recently that I have attended with my father, who, as we have shared, is a priest. And there have been some services or events that we've gone to where, right, there's this expectation of how we behave, even at my age, right? Or this expectation of who I am or how I'm going to be. But at the funeral meal today, there was a friend there also. And as I was getting pulled up to the front of the line to be one of the first people to go get food because I was sitting with my parents, I looked at this friend and I was like, it's one of the few perks that I have of being a priest kid is that I get to go eat first, or like that I'm, you know, that there's like that respect. I would have been totally happy waiting until everybody else went, but it's like, no, 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 the priest and like your family, you go first. And I was like, hallelujah for like all the decades of whatever pressure we've been under, you know, under this scrutiny and spotlight and expectation. I'm like, I get to go get a piece of fruit first. Thank you. Hilarious. Yeah. Well, and then the other event, I got to sit at the clergy table and I was like, oh, I don't know if I feel comfortable. Like my mom didn't go to that thing, but I was there with my dad and he's like, no, 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 just come sit. And I'm like, no, I kind of feel weird because I'm not a spouse. The other spouses are sitting with their priests' husbands and I'm like the kid here, the PK, granted an adult PK.
Isn't that funny how though, like no matter your age, you're still like, oh, I'm that 12-year-old.
Yes. Oh, I totally was like, I'll go sit in a corner somewhere. I really don't have to be treated special.
Where's and the then, kids table?
Yes. And then he's like, no, just sit here with me. And I'm like, okay. And then I felt kind of cool because I was like, I'm at the cool kids table.
That happened to me at a conference that we went to last year where similarly our mother didn't end up going, but there was like a special dinner for all the special people. And our dad was like, which one of you wants to go? And I was like, nope. And I said, I'll do it for the free meal. And then I had to go, wait, what's the dress code? So I had to like dress up to go sit next to him at a table. But hey, the meal was good. It was free. I was like, I'll take it. You guys always get the better meals anyway.
I totally forgot that you did that.
Totally did. Yeah.
And then our friend and I went and had dinner down the street.
Yeah. Then we all went up for drinks after. But I was like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Total. Yeah. Got to like turn up the talk about decor. You have to turn up the decor. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well,
I can do this.
For a moment, you're like, oh, I feel a little bit like a celebrity because, you know, it's nice to be treated with that reverence and respect for a moment. And like I said, there is a trade-off then for all the poop that you have to deal with on the other end.
I mean, we don't have paparazzi trying to take pictures of us.
Thank goodness. Just a squirrel staring me down. You know,
just a few people trying to tell us our skirts are too short.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that we're being too loud.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right.
Anywho, our time has come, my people.
Oh, wait, before we do that, I didn't do my You're Not Alone.
Oh, you didn't.
I didn't. I will say you are not alone if your toilet paper getting too low makes you a little anxious.
Yeah. Because when mine runs out, I reach for the tissue box. I'm like, cool.
Right? Yeah. Does not happen in my house, clearly.
That's so funny. I mean, just to go back to that whole topic anyway, Alexander and I have talked about like procrastination, how far are you going to push a deadline or whatever? And I'm like, the night before I'll get it done, or even day of, like, it doesn't stress me out any less. But yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Plan in advance. All right. There's Alexandra's You Are Not Alone. If your toilet paper gets too low and you get stressed out. Mine happened earlier in the show, so you're welcome. Now is the time for our STW joke of the day. Sean T. Wyman, this one is for you and all of our listeners. What day of the week do chickens hide?
I don't know.
Friday.
Oh, I literally just like tried to quickly go through every day of the week and no.
Sunday?
Yeah. I was like, that doesn't
Monday.
Make sense.
Monday.
Oh, that's funny.
Friday. Get it?
That's funny. Thanks so much, you guys,
That's
for tuning
rich.
In. That's rich.
You guys have a great week. We love you. Can't wait to check back in with you next time. Have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Russian Sisters. To connect with them, go to therussiansisters.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. learn strategies to optimize your own well-being, and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com.
And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.